Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you could join us for the Big Red Bench on this Sunday evening. A lot to get through over the next hour. We'll have a big preview of the Senior Hurling Championship. We'll be speaking to a number of clubs ahead of their opening fixtures. We will be talking to a man who's going to run a mile in each of the 154 GA clubs in County Cork. We're talking to Cork City boss John Caulfield while trying to bounce back from their poor run of form as they go to UCD tomorrow night. We'll also be talking wrestling, and we'll hear from Tracy Kennedy in conversation with Joanna Reardon as well. It's all to come between now and 7 o'clock on the Big Red Bench. Now to a man who spent 40 grand on the Big Red Bench credit card in the last 6 months, it's Ciarán O'Regan.
All for...
Well, weddings don't pay for themselves, like, yeah.
Well, look, that's the thing. The DJ was the most expensive thing of it, Roar,
yeah.
When we got your invoice. Thanks for that.
Yeah, cheers for that. Yeah, yeah. How convenient that all that money went to people you knew, hey?
Yeah. Sure, look, it is what it is. I can't keep up with the golf, the Masters at Augusta. It's after changing so much in the last
all
short
I know
while.
Is Tiger is in contention. He's wearing red. It's Masters Sunday. That is a very, very good day indeed. But a guy I'd never heard of before, to be honest, Patrick Cantlay was leading, but now Xander Schauffele is leading on 12 under par. So he is one clear of Cantlay, Brooks Koepka, Tiger Woods, Francesco Molinari. So it's going to be a very, very interesting shootout over the next hour or two, it has to be said.
Yeah, we'll keep everyone up to date with that because, as Roar said, it's ever-changing at the moment. Elsewhere, Liverpool taking on Chelsea. It's a great day for the Parish so far. Now, there is only 73 minutes gone, but Roar, do you have an update over
Yeah,
there?
We do. We've got Shane Pennington.
It's Liverpool 2, Chelsea 0, and what a goal from Mo Salah. He's picked up the ball 25 yards out, cut in from this right-hand side, and then arrowed a shot, flat past Kepa into the left-hand top corner of the net. It's a brilliant goal, and it's Liverpool 2, Chelsea 0.
After that second goal, Chelsea came right back into it. Hazard had a couple of chances, hit the post as well as Liverpool try and go look for a third goal. They're on the attack here as they look for a third. But yeah, Liverpool 2, Chelsea 0 is how it stands. But 74 minutes on the clock.
Yes, so hopefully they can hold on to that lead. Back top of the table at the moment, 2 points clear.
It's going to go right down to the wire.
Yeah, it certainly is. Man City, they had a good result earlier on today. They defeated Crystal Palace 3-1.
And we got to Mike Lawrence, who was at Selhurst Park.
Crystal Palace 1, Manchester City 3. Reigning Premier League champions Manchester City were made to work for their win against bogey side Crystal Palace. Raheem Sterling had scored early in each half as the England striker continued his good run of form. But with the clock running down, they conceded a free kick on the edge of their 18-yard box. Luka Milivojevic fired it past the wall through into the back of the net. The home side were given hope before Gabriel Jesus slotted home in stoppage time to make it Crystal Palace 1, Manchester City 3.
Yeah, so Man City having a good win. There elsewhere, Celtic, they've defeated Aberdeen 3-0 in the Scottish Cup semi-finals in Hampden Park. Well, when you look at the timeline of the game, there was seems to be a lot going on. Yeah, 1 second yellow and straight red as well. Lots seemed to be going on that. But anyway, 3-0 win for Celtic. Goals from James Forrest, Odson Edward and Tom Rogic getting the goals there. And that sets them up for the meeting with Hearts. So, sure, look, you'd be expecting hopefully a Celtic win.
You never know. Magic of the Cup and all that.
Yeah, in Gaelic games, very, very busy day of action in the county championships. In the senior football championship, Carbery Rangers went up against Illin Rovers, and it was Illin Rovers who won that. 2 goals and 9 points to 1 goal and 9, a 3-point win there for Illin Rovers. In the Premier Intermediate Football Championship, it finished 1-9 to 8 points in favour of Kilnamatra over Airog, so a good win for them. Naiva Bonn were playing Ballingeary today, and a lot happened in the last 10 minutes. Ballingeary went down to 14 players, rightfully so, it must be said, but they came back. Naiva Bonn were coming back then, but Ballingeary really drove on, and they ended up winning that. that game 2-12 to 1-9, winning it by 6 points. And that game doubled up as the winner of that game would go through to the Comórtas Pell competition, which was hosted by Naomh Bonn a year or two ago in Ballyvorney. Okay. It's a competition for all Gaeltacht clubs around the country, so Ballingeary will go into that. In the Intermediate Football Championship, Bullock beat Mitchelstown today in Mallow 2-8 to 1-8, and Drumtariff, their first year up Intermediate, have defeated near neighbours by about 5 minutes, 3 goals and 9 points to 1 goal and 10, beating Mill Street there in Cullen. So a good win for Drumtariff there. In ladies football, the Munster Minor Football Championship started today, and Cork defeated Tipperary 2 goals and 8 points to Tipperary's 2 goals and 6. Tip led for most of that game, so good to see Cork winning that down in Ovens. In basketball, in the WNLC Champions Trophy, a game that has just tipped off, Father Matthews taking on Courtyard Liffey Celtics and DCU at the moment. And Ballincollig, they're the Men's Division 1 League Cup champions. They defeated Dublin Lions 90-67 earlier on today. And in Formula 1, Lewis Hamilton, he's won the Chinese Grand Prix to lead the Formula 1 Drivers' Championship. The Englishman won the sport's 1,000th race in his Mercedes, finishing ahead of Valtteri Bottas and Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah, congratulations to Ballincollig, a cracking win for them. And Liverpool still leading 2-0 with 78 minutes now on the clock. Alright, we're going to start the show looking ahead to Cork City's clash with UCD tomorrow. I've been catching up with Cork City boss John Caulfield about their recent poor run of form, trying to turn things around as they go to UCD, the pressure that's on them. But first, he gives us an injury update ahead of the game.
Carroll Shepherd is under pressure. We'll have to, we're doing a fitness test on him today now, and we'll see how he is. Derek Conner Forch is still out, and obviously Alan Bennett is struggling as well. So but from that point of view, James Tilly comes back in. Unfortunately, Cian Murphy got injured on the other night, but Derek Crowley's in the panel and Cian Bardry. So you know, the most important thing for us is that our performance the other night against Pats over the 90 minutes, which was quite good up to about 75-80, but unfortunately we were disappointed with the late goal. But there was a lot of positives, and you know, and we created a lot of chances. We didn't take them, but we know it's a difficult game tomorrow, but we're looking for 3 points.
Is Cian Murphy on for a few weeks with that hamstring injury?
Yeah, it looks like he'll be out for 3 weeks, which is unfortunate because he'd done really, really well. And you know, we can see his great pace and ability, and was you know, we plan to give him a good bit of game time, but look at, that's the way it is. But young Darrell Crowley came in, and I think everyone, you know, agrees he did really, really well, and certainly he'll be involved for tomorrow.
He must be pushing for a starting spot based on his performance on Friday, is he?
Yeah, well, I think the thing we have to be careful of at the end of the day, he's still only 18 years of age, and he has talent, and we've only played 2 days ago, so he has never played at this level. And you know, it was Friday to Friday, so we just have to monitor him over just the training sessions today and see how he is tomorrow. But certainly he'll be in the squad.
What's the feeling like after Friday? It's one of those draws that must have felt like a defeat.
Yeah, it was disappointing, I suppose. Look, we came off the back of 2 defeats, arguably, against Dundalk and Rovers, who were the 2 strongest teams at the moment, but we certainly felt that we did enough to win the game. But you know, not to get the second goal and kill it off was always disappointing. But at the same time, I think we had created a lot more chances. And but we know tomorrow night UCD are one of those teams, incredibly fit, full time college team, like to switch the play and keep the pitch big. But at the same time, you know, those areas we've looked at that we think we can exploit them. But at the same time, we have to take our chances.
Given your recent form, are you under pressure heading up there tomorrow night?
Well, I think you're always under pressure for every game, no matter where you are. At the moment, you can see the middle of the table is quite boxed, and you know, if we can string a few positive results together, so all of a sudden then you could be in the top three again, or you know, certainly top four. But at the moment, you know the last number of weeks we've dropped points, so you know, there's a lot of heavy games coming up over the next 3 to 4 weeks, and you know, we need to get our form. But certainly if we could win, you know, get a bit of consistency and get 3 or 4 wins, all of a sudden you will be back in the top four, and that's what we're trying to do.
You're 4-4-2 on Friday. Is that something you're going to stick with, or is it kind of a horses for courses kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it's horses for courses and who you have in personnel. I think the option the other night, certainly with the younger boys coming in, we had options. You know, if you look at it with Carroll Shepherd, Darragh O'Connor, James Tilley missing the other night, three forward players. So it meant that we had to change it. So, you know, we're not rigid. I know we've played 4-3-3 for a long time and we play that quite a bit. But at the same time, at the moment, we have other options. And, you know, we've looked at, even in pre-season, we played 3-5-2 quite a bit. And so, you know, we're doing work on different systems. I suppose it depends on the personnel. But tomorrow is a different type of game. UCD played at 4-3-3 and they switched to play quite a bit. So and there'll be a lot of work in the game, but you know, we're working on a few things at the moment.
The case now, you're just waiting for your team to click, isn't it? I suppose the poor start you've had to the season.
No, I think it's a scenario. We've had a lot of injuries, which has been disruptive. We're generally, if you look at our history over since we've come in, we like to play consistency and consistent teams, but it's been just one of those ones where, you know, Cullum Horgan comes back in, plays a number of games, gets injured. Darragh O'Connor was an awful blow to us. James unfortunately got suspended for a couple of games, and so, you know, a few of these things happen. But, you know, the most important thing is that you know, all I can say to our supporters, you know, we train them every day. They're really good guys, really talented. Yes, when you lose a couple of games, it knocks confidence, and you know, when you get a win, it'll bring the confidence back, and the sooner we get a win, the better.
John, while I have you, it's been an interesting week, I suppose, for Irish football off the field. What's your take on everything that's been going on?
Well, I think as a soccer man and a soccer supporter, you know, it's unfortunate that there's a lot of negative news at the moment, and there's a lot of issues. And I suppose, to be honest, without going into great detail, I suppose, look, we all understand there are many problems. And I think, you know, over the years since I've become the manager here, I've always spoken about our own league and the Air Tristan League and trying to promote and bring it to a different level. And unfortunately, we're still where we're at. And I suppose from that point of view, there's areas that, you know, we certainly would prefer that a lot more effort and work would go into the Air Tristan League. But at the same time, you know, there's lots of revelations and details out there. But, you know, for me at the moment, it's not the appropriate time to comment, because there's still a lot of stuff that we don't know about.
That's Cork's boss John Caulfield ahead of tomorrow's clash with UCD.
Mm-hmm. He sounded a bit out of breath.
They were actually sounded like
me coming up the stairs outside there.
They were literally on the training field. He came out to have a chat with me, and I think he was delighted to get out of the wind and the rain. And then straight back out into it. So I was going to talk to him. Interesting. I mentioned to him about the FA and everything that happened this weekend. The revelations in the Sunday Times today about John Delaney and his credit card spending. £40,000 for the last 6 months of 2016 was spent by John Delaney. So that was what took up the front page of the Sunday Times today. Reports yesterday that maybe Delaney was going to resign. We heard reports that he had told friends that he was stepping down. Still nothing official from the FAI as of yet. So it's been fairly old quiet on the John Delaney front, bar, I suppose, the Sunday Times revelations today. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next few days. Reports today suggesting that it could be tomorrow. I have a sneaking suspicion nothing is going to come of this, that like Delaney will ride it out.
Possibly, yeah.
It's one of the options, but I think there's too much pressure on him, there's too much pressure on the FAI as a whole now at the way things stand. So it's going to be very interesting to see the way things pan out the next few days.
Yeah, and Shane Ross coming out today mentioning the sports capital grants that the FAI are, it could be in jeopardy of receiving any of those, and the Aviva, I think, were due a $5 million grant or something. That's in jeopardy.
It's top graded for the Euros.
I know a lot of people who'd work in the FAI remit, we'll say, and John Delaney does have a huge amount of supporters out there. For all the people who are saying he should step aside, he has a huge amount of supporters out there as well.
So look, it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next few days, but you'd imagine it's certainly not the last we're going to hear of John Delaney this week.
Your man Patrick Cantlay actually has dropped down to
Tiger Woods is now joint leader of the Masters on the final day, 11 years after his last Masters win. So he's on 12 under par. He birdied the par 5 13th to move him to 12 under par alongside Xander Schauffele and Francesco Molinari, who's recovered from that double bogey on 12. It's going to be a very, very interesting run-in, so that should be getting a result in about an hour's time. So really looking forward to seeing how all that pans out. And Liverpool still 2-0 up on Chelsea, 85 minutes on the clock. Liverpool riding up the storm of Chelsea pressure, and it looks like Liverpool are going to get the win there and go back to the top of the table. Now, Kevin Donovan, who's originally from Ballycotton, has taken on the challenge of running a mile in each of the 154 adult GAA clubs in County Cork, plus Porkyqueef and Porkyrin. In addition, his wife Mary has pledged to walk a mile at the 80 clubs within the county where there are ladies' football clubs. Now, the key objective is to raise awareness for the Cork Parkinson's and Cork Deaf Associations. Ciarán's been speaking with Kevin about what he's doing and why.
So the aim is to run a mile at every GAA club pitch in the county of Cork. So that consists of 156 pitches, if you include Porkyqueef and Porkyrin.
How have you been getting on so far with that?
It's early days yet, but I have 12 pitches already done, so far so good, as they say.
Why are you running around pitches?
Well, I suppose the idea is based on where 10 years ago I came across two celebrities, I suppose, from BBC Radio, where they ran a mile at every Premier League ground in England and Scotland. And I suppose I felt, let's put a GAA spin to it in Ireland, and I said, let's make a Cork version this time.
How have you been getting on with the reaction from clubs? I see a few write-ups and stuff about it as well, and a few mentions on Twitter.
It's I actually been taken back by how the clubs have been taken on board, and even of the 12 pitches we've been to so far, it's just been nothing but great welcomes, and it's been great fun so far. Like,
any problems getting onto the pitch in Parkyqueef?
Well, I ran the 4G pitch, so we got around that one.
How long do you think it'll take, you know, to get around the county? Because it's a fairly big county.
Yeah, it is a fairly big county, and it took a long time to come up with a schedule. So at the moment, I'm hoping to finish on the 22nd of June, and that pitch will be Ross Rovers in Shanagarry.
And look, before I leave you go, where can people get more information on what you're doing?
They can check out on Facebook at if you type in County Challenge 2019.
All the information is up on that.
That's right, yeah. All the information should be there, yeah.
You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. That's Kevin Donovan, who's going to run a mile in the 154 adult GAA clubs in County Cork. That's a lot of clubs, that's a lot of pitches, that is a lot of miles doing it to raise awareness for Cork Parkinson's and the Cork Deaf Associations.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd be able to do all that running, to be honest with you.
You're a referee, you like run on pitches all the time.
Yeah, but I don't run around them.
Yeah,
all the time, and there's 100 and something clubs there he's going running around.
So there's 154 clubs. How many have you refereed on?
I haven't counted them. I love going to new pitches I haven't been to before, though.
Yeah,
I did get asked to go down very, 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 very West Cork a couple of weeks ago. I think that there just wasn't availability of referees. I would have loved to have gone down, but couldn't. But a fair share of them in East Cork City and North Cork.
What's your favourite pitch?
Favourite pitch?
There's quite a lot of like scenic grounds around Cork and very atmospheric grounds.
There is, do you know what? I've never actually thought about that. The only place, this sounds ridiculous, but the place I love going to is Mallow, because they have the best shower and all. After match, it's nice to have a shower. I love refereeing Parkyrin. It's great to be up in Parkyrin, but look, a lot of places don't have fantastic facilities. It's just, I suppose, maybe they don't have the money to put into them, but certainly referee facilities, which maybe something clubs can work on down the line. But anyway, that's a bugbear of some referees. Probably Parkyrin. I love refereeing Parkyrin.
All right, Liverpool still 2-0 up on Chelsea. That's going into added time, and still Tiger Woods in a joint share of the lead with Francesco Molinari and Xander Schauffele at the Masters. All right, we're going to switch to Gaelic Games, the County Senior Hurling Championship. launch this week at Páirc Uí. Ciarán has been speaking with some of the managers and players involved in this year's competition. First up, Ciarán spoke with Gary Morrissey from Newtown Shandrum, the Avenue side, of a tricky task against Bishopstown.
Yeah, really looking forward to now. You know, championship is, you start out at the start of the year and you're looking forward to it. You have a target, you have a date, you have a position, you know, and then you just want to get on with it now, you know, get started.
Look, I suppose before the championship starts, you're playing league, and Newtown are doing pretty well in the league at the moment, up in the top half anyway. That's obviously good preparation going into championship when you're winning games and so on.
Definitely. I think the new changes to the league seem to be working well, you know, definitely. Even having it finished in June or July is a big thing, because it used to drag on. And but the games are very competitive. Every game we've had so far has been very competitive, and you'd see that across all the games across the league. So yeah, there's a good edge to the games in the league this year, which is good. Yeah.
Mentioned first round coming up pretty sharp. Have you seen anything of your opposition? No. Not that you can divulge anyway.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen him. Look, you kind of focus on yourself, come up for the first round, you know. No, I haven't seen any of them. We, like, they gave us a nice trimming in Mallow there 2 or 3 years ago, you know, in championship, so we're no doubt of what to expect here, like, you know. It's going to be a fierce battle, like, and we know that. So
you have your Cork players back as well. You had them back for the Blackrock League game. I know you probably, the weekend before, you probably could have had him back. There was a bit of confusion, I think, there between the county board and the county management. But you have him back now as well. It's important to get him back as soon as possible, I guess, or as far out from championship to get them in, because they're working with one system with the county team, and then obviously you have your own tactics and everything to be working on as well.
Yeah, look, the lads, first of all, we're delighted that the lads are there, because, you know, they're getting great training and up here, and it's brilliant for them individually and personally, and from the club as well. We love it, like, we love them people representing the county. But yeah, you like to get them back, and it's just to go through a few things yourself and just get them into the group and have the crack with their friends again, you know. Saves them the drive up and down the road as well 2 or 3 times a week, you know, which is, you know, it can be tiring, like. But no, it's good. It's good to have the lads back, yeah.
You're there for another year as management. Players, any in out this year? Or much the same as last year?
We've a couple of lads gone to Australia again. Yeah, Jack Hurley went to Australia now. He's a good, you know, he'd have been our captain last year. We brought through a couple of good minors, but they're only minor, you know. It's a big step up. But no, look, I mean, when you're in a small place, you have to make better what you have, and you can't go out and buy, you know. It's not like soccer or anything like that, so you just have, look, we train hard, we try to improve, and that's all you can do, you know, get ready as best you can, and that's it.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan Clifford would have come over for games last year or the year before. Will that be happening this year? I know he's in Dubai.
No, Ryan won't be coming. Yeah, no, what happened last year, he was only gone 3 weeks before the first round, so we were able to manage it last year, but he's gone over a year and 2 or 3 months now, so it's just gone too long, you know. And it's unfortunate, like, Ryan's a good guy, good fella in the group and that, but unfortunately, well, I suppose fortunately, the world is getting smaller and people are spreading the wings and that, so yeah, you can't help it, you know.
But look, you've been working with the core group you have anyway, since whenever you went back training, but you're obviously building with them to this first round. There's going to be, well, managers might admit to it maybe, or players wouldn't, but the change in structure to county championship for next year, this year will have a bearing on that, and last year and 2 years previous to that. Obviously you want to get the best grade, and you want to be premier senior next year. While you're thinking now of the first round, you're not thinking of next year. It must be some thought into, right, we have to do well here because we want to be playing premier senior next year, and the further we go this year championship, the better chance we have of doing that as well.
Yeah, look, yeah, it's not really in your thoughts, because it's not mine anyway. I just think start of the year we go out to win the championship or get as far as we can. We know it's an extremely hard championship to win, but every team in this championship believes at some level that they can win it, you know. So if you focus on next year, this year kind of go past you, you know. But we'll just take it. We'll play the first round now. We'll see where that fares out, and come after the 2nd of August, we'll kick on again then and you know, just if you get a couple of wins, then a bit of momentum and that, like, you know, see where it takes you, basically, that's it.
You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's FM, and that is Gary Morrissey from Newtown Shandon. Alright, I'm going to continue our Senior Hurling Championship previews. We can hear from the County Champions, Imokilly, who came through the Colleges and Division section already. They're on course for the three in a row. Kieran's in speak with manager Fergal Condon.
I suppose, from our point of view there, we had Colm Spillane as own injured there, no Willie here at the moment, and we'll have to bring in a few new fellas. Shame he was niggling enough there for the Cabri game, so we had a good look at a couple of the panel now as well for the rest of the year, you know. This is a fresh year now, so no ideas, no ways for us again for this year, you know, so we're looking forward to it.
It's good to be able to pick new lads. You have a fantastic squad as it is anyway, but to be able to bring in new fellas on top of that?
Well, I suppose, like, things revolve all the time, you know. Fellas have left the scene as well. Timmy Ganey and Barrett, who are there, have moved on. Niall O'Leary is now playing at UCC. So I suppose, you know, there was a room there for lads. So, well, I was looking for fellas, you know. Fellas are putting their hand up into clubs. We'll be around to them and give them a few games and see how they progress, you know.
Yeah, we mentioned you've played the two games already. You can only beat what's put in front of you, but they were comprehensive victories at the same time.
They were, I suppose, like, to be fair, but I mean, we didn't score any goal yet in the championship, so there are challenges that we have for going forward, I suppose. And then on top of that, then, we were slow starting in both games as well, to be fair, you know. We were slow getting out of the traps there at times, so we have a bit to do as well. The aim is to get to the championship proper, which is where we are, so from that point of view it is very pleasing, and we're looking forward into August.
Yeah, it's going to be a while before you play, and you don't obviously don't know who you're going to be playing yet. How do you manage training in that respect, especially when the junior championship in Imokilly is going to be starting soon, and clubs are back, or players are back with their intermediate clubs and all that as well?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, you know, a lot of our panel would be pure hurling men, like, you know, they just love the, what we do is what they're about, you know. From last Tuesday night until maybe 5 or 6 weeks time, to be honest with you, know, they'll be going back to their clubs, and that'll be it, end of story. Like, without any activity with ourselves, we'll pick it up then maybe after the championship with their clubs and play a few matches during the summer, get ready for August, like, you know. Obviously primarily, you know, they're, we'd like to see him playing well with the clubs and progressing. That's where we find players all along, so I'm sure that'll be the case again.
Yeah, and look, lastly, before I leave you go, since we last spoke, the county championship has changed for next year, and that means for yourselves and all the other divisions and colleges, only one of you will go through. Naturally, you'll be hoping that's yourselves, but what do you make of that championship?
I suppose, you know, the proposals were put out there for a reason, you know. We were all crying out for change. There was a couple of platforms put in front of club members and the executives. They've chose to stick with it, which is bear the changing of the championship. I think it's a good idea that maybe one team comes out, because, you know, the thing in with the divisions is there are some competitive teams there, and there's others that could do more a bit, like, you know. So, you know, you're either in or out, and it's kill straight away a championship hurling then at that level. So it's not a bad thing from that point of view. I suppose the intermediate championship will be very promising this year now, because there's a lot of very good teams there, as well as the club teams, and probably teams trying to get into the top tier at senior level, and then the premier intermediate teams trying to make it into the senior area. You know, it's interesting this year now, this championship, so it's good to see it.
Yeah, it's Fergal Condon there, Imokilly boss there on the hunt for a three in a row. Is anyone going to stop them, Kieran?
I don't think so.
What kind of response is that?
Well, because I haven't seen a lot of the other teams, to be honest with you. Now, like, you look at Na Pearse, top of the league table. They've only lost one, which is during the week against Kanturk, who themselves are at the bottom of the table, having lost all their games before that one. Na Pearse again, flying form this year after a very probably demoralising last 2018. But Imokilly, obviously, still the standout team. It's just managing injuries and everything, because it's different from the club, where they may have a county player and they're with Cork for a lot of time. But with Imokilly, they could be with Cork. They're also going back to their clubs if they're from a junior or intermediate team, i.e. Seamus Harnerty, who goes back to St. Edith's, and then he's playing with Imokilly, and then he's playing with Cork. Like, it's very hard for Fergal to try and manage all that as well, you know. It's a lot more difficult for McKillie, but they're obviously in a very strong position. They're going for a 3-0. He wouldn't talk about that at all, but...
I'm pretty sure it's all on their minds, though.
Of course it is. Of course it is. No manager or anything will ever admit to that, but it is. It is. Even for me saying it to him, he was thinking about it, whether he admitted it or not. But yeah, look, they're obviously the strongest team. They've the strongest players, I think. But like, there's some real intriguing battles in the first round, namely Glen Rovers and Middleton as well next weekend. Mm. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to next weekend when the championship really gets going. Yeah. But Ian McKillie probably still the standout team.
All right, going to go to Anfield for a full-time report from Shane Pennington.
Liverpool 2, Chelsea 0. Jurgen Klopp's men finally get the better of Chelsea here at Anfield as they beat them for the first time in 9 meetings to go back to the top of the Premier League table. Sadio Mane headed them in front before Mo Salah scored a second against his former club with a screamer from 25 yards. Roberto Firmino shot inches wide as they looked for a third, and at the other end, Eden Hazard hit the left-hand post from 12 yards out. It was then denied by Alisson. Jurgen Klopp's side 2 points clear at the top then. Liverpool 2, Chelsea 0.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. More Gaelic games when we come back.
Yeah, look, delighted. Great win for the parish.
I was trying to push over that, yeah, thanks for that.
That's the way it is, sorry. There's still a couple of games left, but Liverpool do have the easier run. Yeah, to be honest.
It's going to go all right down to the wire. It's going to be.
But do you know, the title could be won in Old Trafford between Man United and Man City. Because, look, if Man City lose that, Liverpool have a much easier run in.
Yeah.
I know you don't want to admit it, Roar.
I'm not admitting anything.
I know you won't. Oh, yeah, look, you text me earlier on looking for butter from the shop. I said, I'll get you butter. Just admit that Liverpool are going to win today.
I didn't.
No text back. You saw the message. I saw the blue ticks. But there was no message back. No, right. I got you the butter right now. It wasn't that bad.
Man City playing Tottenham next Saturday, and Liverpool go to Cardiff City on the Sunday. All right, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, more Gaelic games.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
There is now a 5-way tie at the top of the leaderboard at the Masters. Dustin Johnson, Xander Scheifele, Brooks Koepka, Tiger Woods, Francesco Molinari are all on 12 under par. Dustin Johnson with 4 birdies in his last 5 holes to shoot right up the leaderboard. Tiger Woods still hanging in there, and Francesco Molinari, who started the day as the leader, still there on 12 under par. It's going to be a cracking end to the Masters, unless the weather catches up with them.
Well, it's very possible. Did you see people going around with umbrellas there a short while ago? Is this the most entertaining or exciting, I suppose, better word for it, end to...
I love the Masters. I love Augusta. I love every single thing about it. We've been watching it this afternoon. Kind of disappointed it will be kind of over by the time I get home from work. I love Masters Sunday, just sitting down, relaxing, watching the golf on Masters Sunday. But I hope Tiger Woods does it. It'd be an incredible story.
It would be a massive, massive comeback for him. And he looks just really tuned in from even some of the clips. Like, he went into the woods and everything there. Just really, like... He's just so focused in the cameras that the point to him, but it would be great for him, obviously. But things are changing so much, like a six-way tie at the top of the leaderboard. It's mad. It's great for the punters watching it.
Yeah, we're going to top of the senior football championship now. Ireland Rovers beating Carberry Rangers 2-9-1-9 today, thanks to our early goals from Sean O'Donovan and Tom Bush helping them to victory today. Castlehaven. Dennis there for us. He spoke to Ireland Rovers boss Flora Griffin.
There, that's all right. You must be delighted. You know, I presume a local derby like that, they're looking for a big performance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's hard to talk to us after the game. That means so much to us. I mean, I know it's only first round, but for us, we haven't won a first round in a long time.
Yeah.
We're playing one of the best teams in the county. Like, they're a team that we always like look up to and say, we need to be like them, like a rural club, really grow great players, keep their core players together, and keep building around them. And, you know, we knew we had to be at our very best today under those tough conditions.
Yeah.
And I think we really, really played well with great desire, great intensity, and we got some great scores and opportunities. came off. So
you were against winning in the first half. Was that the plan, or did you
we didn't care. We were prepared for either way, but if it came, we said we go against the wind. And I think what really helped us out is two goals in the first 20 minutes was really going to set the tone. I think in the first half as well, Cab Rangers are coming back into it. They kicked I think 9 wides. And that's because we really had to put pressure on them, and we did put pressure on them, and they had to force it a little bit. So I think getting those two goals really kind of set the tone. And obviously, if you can see two goals, very hard.
Yeah.
So happened, Carver
Rangers. And then in the second half, they were coming back. Actually, I suppose they were playing better against the wind as well, and there was even down period over score. But there's no panic. And
we got a couple of nice points to start the second half. But we talked about that. They were going to react. Then John Hayes, unlucky for them, didn't start with an injury, but then he came on. Like, they have some great players, and they were going to come at us. We defended well, but they got within a point. Like, and it looked as they had the momentum. We brought on a couple of subs who did absolutely fantastic, and just really helped us get over the line.
And especially after last year, when you were cut up in the relegation battle, it must be great just to put yourselves on a positive footing.
It is. I mean, football is probably simple, but it's hard to do it. And last year we were struggling to get like 10 of training. This year, we're getting 30 of training, and the lads are really up for it. And it shows. I mean, everything shows. Like, we lost Carrigaline last year, I think, by a point, but we weren't prepared where we are this year. This year is just a different group. It's fantastic.
And especially to get a win like that when you're missing guys like Kevin O'Sullivan, David Cock, Alex Sassett,
Stephen Leonard. We've others as well, like Davey Ryan, Kevin Manhattan, players like that, Richard. So, we have the players. It's just keep together and keep riding on. Some, I guess, disruptive. No players going to stays, a few going to stays, but we're missing players today, so we're missing players next day, so next man up, really. So.
Yeah, it's Flora Griffin there speaking after Allan Rovers' win today over Carbery Rangers. 2-9 to 1-9 was how that finished. All right, going to go back to our Senior Hurling Championship preview. I'm going to hear from Newcestown Town now and their captain, Jack Mead.
Yeah, I think it's a good draw, really. Both sides, I think it's a good draw, really, I think. Anyway, it's a good one to focus the minds early in the year. Big numbers up training. Good enthusiasm around the place, everyone focusing on the one thing where you mightn't get that with other draws. So I think that's a massive incentive for our fellas. So I think both sides are going to be happy, really. We got a good win over them last year. We know it's going to be a totally different story this year. They're not going to be happy with the way the game went last year. So we know both sides are going to be well focused for it. I think it's a good draw, really.
Naturally, you'd want to do a small bit better than last year in this year's championship.
Yeah, I think any year you want to build on the previous year, keep improving. Again, we got to the quarterfinals. Now the last 2 years, you kind of want to build on that. Unlucky against Imikili, I suppose, in some ways last year. We know what kind of team they are, but I think this time of year you're just focusing on the first game, first get over Bandon, and then you can look deeper into the championship.
Last year we spoke about the dual thing, trying to get everything together. The footballers have had their first round, unfortunately they lost, but how is that managing now? I suppose it's over to the hurlers now at this stage.
Yeah, so the footballers would have had the last 2 weeks, now the hurlers will have the next two going towards championship. But I think it's a good thing in a way. People see, there's a lot of pressure on the bodies and stuff, but it's a good thing in a lot of ways. It's kind of, you're changing the focus of the mind, really, different challenges. So I think being dual is kind of, can be advantageous in some ways. But obviously the toll on the body can be a bit of pressure. So a fella's going to build themselves back up after the loss now the other day and dive straight into the hurling and get going again.
Any changes in management, new players coming in, any retirements, injuries?
In terms of management, we have the same group as last year with the addition of Tim Crowley, so he's a massive addition. The knowledge and experience he's going to bring is going to be phenomenal, so we're happy with that. In terms of players, James Desmond is gone from last year. He's gone travelling for the year. And we have an addition of a couple of young fellas. They'll be hoping to get game time now in championship. They're pushing us hard, bringing great energy and I suppose extra numbers are always going to help, especially in the dual front as well. So we're happy enough with them. They keep going now and keep us all ticking over. Yeah.
And look, before I leave you go, obviously the county championship structure has changed for next year. Now, obviously you're not looking at next year, but it has to be in the back of the minds about how the gradings are going to work for getting to Premier Senior, I suppose. Last year would have helped get into the quarterfinals. This year, if you get into the quarterfinals, it's a very good bet. You'd be in the Premier Senior. Is that something that plays on the mind? I know you want to do as well as you can. Obviously, you'd want to go all the way and win the county, but is that something that plays on the back of the mind, how the structure is going to work for next year and affect this year's grading?
Yeah, I suppose you wouldn't really think of it too much, but it kind of is in the back of the mind, I suppose. If we get to the quarterfinal, we're kind of... You'd like to think you're practically there. We're on the cusp, but now we're in 12th in hurling and football at the moment, so we need a good few we need at least two or three wins anyway just to secure to be there. Everyone wants to play in the top grade of hurling and football, like, so that's everyone's aspiration, so hopefully we can just first of all beat Bandon. That'll be a big step towards being in Premier Senior next year.
Listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM, and that's Nusa Stan's captain Jack Mead looking ahead to their senior hurling championship campaign. At the goal, Francesco Molinari was put his ball in the water on 15, so he's going to drop out of the lead, which is on 12 under par, shared currently by five golfers: Molinari, Woods, Kupka, Scheufele and Dustin Johnston. So still very, very nervy there at Augusta, but we'll keep you posted on that one. Alright, we are going to continue our Senior Hurling Championship look ahead. The current Red FM Division 1 Hurling League champion Sarsfield is playing Mallow next Friday against Kanturk, and we spoke to manager Brian Roach.
They're going as well as can be expected. We kind of went back late enough. We went back over the month of February, and we kind of just met up once a week and kind of gradually built it up as we went down, and we went back fully then on the pitch and the first week of March. And Our league has been good enough, you know, and we had our last game before championship yesterday there with all our Cork players back, and it was great to have them back in the club jersey again, you know, and they were delighted to be back as well. So we've four or five sessions up before we go and take on Kanturk in a couple of weeks, and we're looking forward to it.
That's one thing, actually, a good point. You finally got the Cork players back, and there was a weekend there, right, where there was a bit of confusion, I think. But you have them back. It's obviously good to have them back, especially a couple of weeks before championship, because when they're out of the camp for so long, they mightn't, you know, not that they wouldn't gel with the team, because they obviously know the lads, but it can be tricky to get them stuck in, I suppose, so close to the championship. But it's good you have them in training a couple of weeks before that.
Yeah, it is, of course, 100%. Look, the earlier you get them back, the better. And as I say, we got a good competitive league fixture yesterday under our belts there against Bride Rovers. And we'll go out now. We choose a Thursday. We have the weekend. We have Tuesday next week before we play Kanturk. And our Cork lads love coming back to Sars to play with their club. You know, they love representing their club, playing with guys that they've grown up with and playing with up all through the years, like other clubs have it with their county players. So there's never been an issue with the lads blending back in or come back into the setup with positive attitude. So, you know, as I say, we're really looking forward to 2 weeks' time against Kanturk.
Kanturk is your opposition up in Mallow on a Friday night, I think it is. All preparations going well for that?
Yeah, obviously you're going to give Kanturk the utmost respect, and that's as far as we're looking. And look, mainly we'll concentrate on our game and bring our game to Mallow on Friday week, and make sure that we do everything that we say we're going to do and come out the right side of it.
You're still there in the management ticket. Any other additions to that, or is there any new players after coming in or any retirement?
From the management side, Owen Quigley, who just retired last year, is after coming into the setup, and Owen's been brilliant since he's come in. Loads of experience, good strong character, great with the lads, so he's a good relationship with them already over his playing career. And Owen is doing great stuff on the pitch with the lads at the moment, and things are working well, you know. So good young players coming through as well. Yeah, we kind of still have the young lads from the last number of years, and there's a good blend now of youth and experience in the team, so hopefully we can drive on now.
And look, lastly, Brian, I know no club is looking beyond the first round, but with championship structures changing next year, an awful lot will depend on this year's grade-ins and last year's grade-ins. And I know you'd be disappointed with last year and you want to drive on this year, but it's obviously important to try and go as far as you can to go into Premier Senior next year, into the top 12. Is that in the back of the minds?
I suppose in the back of the mind, but it's way back there, to be honest, because regardless of what's going on next year, we want to get to the latter stages of the championship, and that's the final, and win it, because that's the ambition that the club has and that these players have and that we as management have as well. So we'll be going looking at every game as it comes. Can't talk first. We take our break and we go hard again then for the third round.
Yeah, it's Sarah's boss Brian Walsh there speaking to Ciarán as they prepare to play at Mallow in Kanturk. Looking at the leaderboard at Augusta, Tiger Woods is now out on his own in front. He's on 13 under par. He birdied the par 5 15th, so he's on 13 under par. He's at one clear of Dustin Johnson, Xander Schauffele and Brooks Koepka. Francesco Molinari with a nightmare on 15, a double bogey after finding the water. So he has dropped back to 10 under par, 3 behind Woods, and there are 3 holes left. Can Tiger do it? This would be a sensational, sensational story. We'll keep you posted on that one. Yeah, it's exciting.
It's really. It's changing so much, but the same thing could happen. Tiger Woods, you know, one bad shot and, you know, he could be in trouble. Yeah. It's fantastic to see the leaderboard, actually, and Tiger top of it.
All right, going to preview the next episode of the Joanna Reardon podcast. It's a podcast we've been doing with Joanna over the last number of weeks as she speaks to some of the biggest game changers in sport. Now, the first part of Joanna's interview with Cork County Board Chairperson Tracy Kennedy is available right now. Go to redextra.ie, click on the Joanna Reardon podcast. It is there. You can get it from iTunes and Apple Podcasts and Spotify, wherever you get podcasts. You can get the Joanna Reardon podcast. We're going to preview Friday's episode, which is the second part of her interview with Tracy Kennedy.
I suppose where there seemed to be a women in sport kind of, I'm not saying movement because it sounds very dramatic, but there was a lot of stuff happening to promote like female participation in sport, and I think a lot of times where people forget is to focus on administration as well, which 20 by 20 are doing at the moment, and that's something as well that you're obviously passionate about. Like, do you think it's important that we get all these various voices at board levels just to kind of show, you know, because I mean people always say to me, oh, it's obviously because Tracy Kennedy's involved, that's why the ladies football are playing double headers. And I'm like, alas, Tracy. You know, so is it because of you?
Well, I'm not going to take all the credit for it. Yeah. I think, like you say, there has been a huge movement. I find it a really noticeable movement in the last few years. There's much greater visibility. I think it's a change in society. It's not just about sport, you know. There's much greater visibility of women in sport at all levels, whether it's playing or administration, and that's really important. When you think how long ago it was that Liz Howard was the first female county board officer, and how few they have been, there have been since.
Yeah,
you know, I'm only the second ever female county chairperson in Ireland. You know, so the clubs abroad or the counties abroad do have more women involved in them at some times, but I think there's a much greater movement. So it makes it easier maybe to be a woman involved in sports administration at this current time.
Yeah.
But, you know, we still need massive improvements. Do you know, and what worries me, I suppose, about Cartier is I don't see the next woman.
Yeah.
I don't see the conveyor belt, even though there's absolutely amazing women involved in clubs. Such fantastic women. And they're in all officer roles in clubs. I think we probably have more female club chairpersons at the moment than we've ever had.
Cool.
Which is great. It's improving all the time. There are a number of clubs who have all female senior officer boards. So we'll say their chairperson, secretary and treasurer are all women. That's brilliant. And it's great to have that mixture, because you must have balance, Joanne, you know, in anything.
Yeah.
You need different voices. Now, it's not just about women. I'm also a bit disturbed about the general lack of diversity.
Yeah.
You know, in the GAA particularly. Mm. I mean, when I look around the room I'm in, it's still very much a white male environment.
Mm.
And there are very few people with different abilities involved. There are very few people from diverse cultural backgrounds involved. So, like, there's a whole, I'm not going to try and solve all that now, you know.
Still, I mean,
but there is a whole change needed in that area. We need generally more diversity.
I think even every sport kind of struggles with that. Like, I mean, I think back in January, Karen Brady came in from West Ham. So she's the chairperson of West Ham Football Club. And even she was saying that, like, fair enough, she's promoting women in sport. But she was like, there's also, like, you know, race in sport, ability in sport. Like, there's so many other areas
so
that we still have to cover.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a big challenge.
Yeah.
Because again, I think, and this is good, like, these are things we need. There is generally an awareness that we need, like, you're doing a brilliant job. Like, I mean, the leadership role you're playing, you know, for people with disabilities, and the role that you're involved in and what you're doing here in terms of media and so on, you're making that very visible. I follow Sinead Burke as well. And like, you know, she's brilliant as well for raising awareness.
If you ever want to feel like a culture, stand next to Sinead Burke.
Really?
Like, yeah, she's always dressed in like Armani.
Oh, I know. I just love looking at her Instagram. But like, the work she's doing again for raising awareness,
yeah,
you know, it's just, she's she just has put some small things even on Instagram at times that just makes me think, God, I never thought of that. Even just image descriptions.
Yeah.
Do you know? And we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
You know, we really have.
There's even things that you were, even I would take for granted. Mm. Like, I'd be often on boards and I'd have to speak on behalf of all disabilities. And I'm like, I'm not blind. I'm not deaf. I don't know how this is going to work. Like, yeah. I remember 2 years ago I was in England and Man City were opening a new autism unit and someone messaged me saying, you should go down and visit. And I was like, why? Like, you know, and I understand what they meant, but like, I was hardly going to go to an autism unit, you know, just to, you know, show face, you know, things like
but
that.
But you become a representative the same way as I'm sort of expected to represent all women, even though, like, women in sport have hugely different experiences and that it's there. And there is definitely, like, you know, it's interesting that you said about the fact that I'm involved. Is that the reason why the ladies, are playing the double headers? But if that wasn't happening, like, there's greater pressure on me to make sure that happens.
Did you find that, I must do this because people are driving me demented about it.
Well, it's not even that, but there's an expectation that I will do things to promote women's sport, which is fine. I have no problem with that. But that pressure wasn't on all of the chairpersons who went before me because they were men, so they were only, it wasn't expected of them. And I suppose sometimes that frustrates me a little bit. Why should there be different expectations of me than there are of the people who came before me? Now, I'm delighted that I can have the opportunity to do those things, and it was on my to-do list to get those double headers. Look, it's a no-brainer, and I'm still saying, I said it at GAA Congress this year, I shouldn't have to do that because it should be happening at the top level when fixtures are being made at the national level of all three bodies. That is the time to coordinate them, you know, not to have all of the counties running around seeing what can we accommodate. They should come out to us in that way. And I really hope that will start to happen. I think, again, there's an awareness that it should. And from this year, from next year on, or from soon on, I suppose, it was passed at Congress this year, Camogie and Ladies Football will be represented on the GAA Central Council, you know.
It's a big step.
It is a big step. So hopefully things like it would be just so much easier for everyone if those fixtures were done at national level and just came out to us as a fait accompli.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have to worry about it.
I suppose, you know, 2018 was, it was a bit of a mad year more than anything else. And I always joke that Cork GAA, that we definitely are the most radical GAA groups in terms of, like, we are diehard extremists. But 2018, I remember hurling, it was a decent year, and I remember the defeat to Limerick. It was just, it was kind of sickening more so because you were like, oh man, we really had that in the bag. But I suppose football was extra tough. You know, Munster final, that, like, hammering to Kerry and Páirc Uí Chaoimh, you know, and the big hype of, oh, we're going to be playing at Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and then the subsequent defeat to Tyrone. I suppose you were looking at that, and was there a lot of people kind of coming to you going, this is Tracy, what are you doing, this is your fault, you know? Or did you find that, like, kind of tough? Not that you expected success, but were you kind of standing there going, oh, that's a bit of a shame?
Yeah, I think we were on a little bit of a high after our win over Tipperary, because that had been a really good game. I mean, we played really well, it was enjoyable football, and I suppose maybe we thought we were somewhere we weren't. But I always find Cork defeats hard. You know, why wouldn't I? You know, my whole, as I say, every spare minute of my time is built around Cork. I am a fan above everything else. Yeah. I'm a fan, you know. I cry when we win, I cry when we lose. You know, it's part of the feelings that all our fans have. I feel the euphoria, I feel the devastation. So, and again, I have very high expectations for Cork. Like, I mean, I want to win the double every year. And people say to me, oh, you're from a hurling area, but it's not like that for me. It's all Cork, you know, whether it's hurling, Camogie, ladies football or men's football, it's Cork. They're wearing a Cork jersey. I want them to win.
Yeah.
So the defeat to Kerry was very, very difficult. And then I suppose we still hoped we might pick it up. So the Tyrone one was the worst. That experience, I remember sitting up there and it's like, oh my God, it's just so awful.
I remember getting the call going, can you write 800 words on it? And I was like, oh, 800's a lot of words to put into this.
Oh, it was very, very hard.
Yeah, that's a segment from Joanne's podcast with Tracy Kennedy, which will be available on Friday. The second part with the Cork County Board chairperson will be available on Friday from noon on redextra.ie and from every week of podcasts as well. Tiger Woods is now two shots clear at the top of the leaderboard at Augusta. He has just birdied hole 16 to move two shots clear of the chasing pack, which includes Dustin Johnson, who's in the clubhouse, Xander Schauffele, who's playing 18, and Brooks Koepka, who's playing 17. It looks like it's going to be Tiger's day. He just needs to stay focused. And this is going to be an incredible story. All right, we're nearly out of time, but Phoenix Wrestling back in Cork this Friday for what promises to be another top-class show. For more on it, one of the people behind Phoenix, Billy Bedlam, calling to me to look ahead.
Yeah, things are going great, boy. Very busy as usual. We were just chatting, myself and Marian Armstrong there earlier. This is our 10th over 18 show, and we're not even 10 months old. Yeah. Maybe 11. We're planning our anniversary show in July, but this is our 10th show coming up. 11 if you include the one we did on 2 days notice, so things are really busy, but really
good. Talk to me about that Courage show and the events that happened and how you ended up doing a show on 2 days' notice that ended up being a massive success.
Well, myself and Marion were actually booked on the show to wrestle for Courage, right? And we heard that the ticket sales weren't doing very well or whatever, and we got contacted within both on a Monday or Tuesday to say that the show had been pulled, right? And then we got other conflicting information that the ticket sales were going fine, but the owners of Courage, who were actually DJs, were didn't want to follow with the owner of the nightclub or what or not, so we don't really know actually what happened. But anyway, so all these wrestlers were going to be out of work for the weekend and whatnot. And Marion had time off work booked, myself we had time off stuff, so we decided to see could we do the impossible without a venue. We'd no venue, we'd no Kino was booked, so we said let's try and put on a show. And within 48 hours we had a venue and we had a big audience inside in the Circus Factory, which we hope to be back to actually before the end of the year.
It looked like a cool venue.
It's a really cool venue. To bring your own beer, which is always cool as well. And we had a really good show. We booked everybody that we could that was on the Courage show, plus we brought in our own guys as well. Ricky Graham was on it, Raven Creed was on it, that kind of thing. Butch Armstrong actually was on it as well. So it was a really good show.
I'd imagine like the kudos you must have got from the wrestling family in Ireland must have been huge after that.
There was no failing. No matter what happened, there was no failing in it. We looked at it as a kind of a PR stunt anyway.
Yeah.
So we were always going to come out looking good. Mm. We really got our name out there even further. And, by the fact that it was success, we got a lot of people contacting us from around the country saying, well done, lads. Mm. You did a good thing here. And I think it's kind of cemented ourselves as, the Phoenix is a good brand and we're here to stay,
And speaking of Irish wrestling, just to get away from Phoenix a bit, but Becky Lynch winning at WrestleMania last weekend is a massive shot in the arm for Irish wrestling.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. Yeah, Becky is, she's been all over the world wrestling. I think she was in Cork wrestling in Ballincollig when she was 17.
I saw her wrestling in Trebulgan with Sheamus and Finn Balor on an Irish Whip wrestling card back in 2003.
People
in a small room. Now look at her, it's amazing.
That's it, you put in the hard yards, you never know what's going to happen. You know, I mean, the Irish are well represented now in WWE, and there's Killian Danes as well, which is four, I think. Maybe there's one or two more that I can't think of off the top of my head, but Irish wrestling is huge at the moment, and it was amazing to see Becky win the both belts at WrestleMania.
It's Billy Bedlam of Phoenix Wrestling. They're back in the Kino on Friday night. And if you want to see me get slapped in the face by a professional wrestler in an interview that's gone awry that we didn't air today because of some unprofessional conduct by a certain Butch Armstrong, you can check out Phoenix Wrestling's Facebook page to see me get slapped square in the face by a very angry man who's going to get beaten by Marion Armstrong on Friday night.
It was really awkward when that happened. We were in the officer
I've never been slapped in the face before. First off, I've never had someone storm out on me before, and secondly, I've never been slapped in the face. On air, I've definitely been slapped in the face before, but I haven't been slapped in the face while doing an interview while someone was storming out. It was an experience. But if you want to see me get slapped in the face, check out Phoenix Wrestling's Facebook page. The video is there. All right, Tiger Woods looks like he's going to win the Masters. He's too clear. He's currently playing 17. It's going to be a tremendous story and a tremendous comeback for Woods and his first, is it his first major since 2008?
2008, a long time. So it's going to be epic.
I'm looking forward to watching the end of that there. All right, we're out of time. Thanks very much for tuning our way. We're back next Saturday from 6 p.m. Our podcast will be online very shortly. Red Extra. And wherever you get your podcast from, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that kind of crack. Enjoy the rest of your night, folks. Green and Red's up next.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.